Joining us on Candidly Speaking is Larry Watkins. Larry Watkins is very much involved with truthbook.com, which is a comprehensive Urantia-based website. And among its many features is a segment or a part of the website called The Forum. And if you're not familiar with The Forum, it's basically an online discussion. Larry could probably explain it first. Larry first discovered the Urantia book in 1961. But he said at the age of 19, it wasn't the time. But then again, in 1975, he had a second chance. And I'm assuming that you've been a student ever since. He's also the moderator for truthbook.com, The Forum. And I wanted to talk to Larry about The Forum because I've been a member of The Forum for almost 10 years. And it's a great place because you can discuss with other Urantia book readers, new and old, all the questions pertaining to the revelation. So joining me now is Larry Watkins. It's very nice to have you on. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on, and it's good to speak to you. We've never actually met before.
Not formally. I know that you and I have exchanged a few emails. I love the way that you moderate. You seem to temper when the discussions get hot and heavy. But tell me the history. First of all, tell me your history. How did you get involved with the Urantia book? Why did you need a take two to discover it? And how has your life been since becoming a student of the Urantia papers?
Well, good question. My life, I have no idea what it would have been like had I not discovered the book. And I can't really take credit for having discovered it. I think I was pretty much guided and led to it. I'd always been a seeker as a young person. And when I first met it in 1961, I was pretty much a typical New Age person. Not a hippie, but I was very much into metaphysics and read just about everything I could on spiritual and esoteric topics. I think I would have called myself more a Buddhist than anything else. And when I saw the Urantia book on a coffee table, I opened it up and started reading, and it was discussing angels. And with my mindset, angels just did not compute. So I thought, well, it's a big book, might be interesting, but I have my own path. Well, eventually, about 14, 15 years later, I was at a conference, and it was a spiritual conference. And I told the person I was talking to that I felt really comfortable in my religion. Of course, if you asked me what it was, I wouldn't be able to explain it very well because it pretty much encompassed everything. But I said, the thing I feel least confident about and that I'd like to know more about is Jesus. And she said at that time, if you want to know Jesus, you have to read the Urantia book. So that's what got me started. That was in 1975. And immediately from reading the first page of the foreword, I said, this is it. And I pretty much accepted the whole concept of what the book was providing. There were some big changes required in my spiritual life and in my spiritual thinking, because I did acknowledge that the Urantia book was speaking with an authority that I couldn't ignore, and that I just assumed that as a revelation, it was there to teach me something that I didn't know otherwise. So I pretty much was able, with a little difficulty, to accept the teachings of the book and to go from that point. And since that time, since 1975, it has been the major event in my life.
How did you get involved? What do you do, if you don't mind, what is your background, your area of experience or knowledge? What kind of trade craft do you have?
Okay, well, I became a employee of International Business Machines when I got out of high school. So at 19, I started working for IBM. I worked for IBM for 30 years and retired at the age of 48. And at that time, I thought, now I'll be able to do what I want to do with my life and get away from computers. Well, it hasn't worked out that way. Computers are still a constant part of my daily life.
Yeah, and probably, we all love the technology, but it is all consuming, isn't it? I mean, you can't get away with it.
It is, definitely, yeah. And I'm rapidly being left behind. I hardly know how to use my telephone.
Yeah. You must have either an Android or an iPhone, right? So, tell me how the forum got started. How Truthbook? What are the histories of Truthbook, and then specifically the forum?
Okay, sure. The mid '90s, the internet was beginning to have an effect, and more people were involved with it. And with an association and a friend of mine, we decided that it would be great to be able to put the Urantia book on so that people would become familiar with it. So I think that was the first application of online text, HTML, Urantia book in probably 1995. Then in about 2000, I visited the Jesusonian Foundation, and with discussions with Mo and Paula, we decided it would be good for Jesusonian to have a presence on the internet. So she and I started working on developing a website, along with several other people who had input. And eventually we came up with the website named truthbook.com, which is owned by Jesusonian Foundation. Now, currently there are three of us who work with the online aspects of Truthbook. I pretty much am responsible for moderating the discussion forum, but I have help when I need it from my other two associates. So the intent of Jesusonian Foundation is to bring the teachings of Jesus from the Urantia book to the forefront. It seems as though Urantia book students tend to be fairly encapsulated in their own studies and promoting the book and discussing with one another the aspects of all that they learn from the book and the dry sands of knowledge. But several of us have felt that that's not nearly enough, that we need to really absorb part four of the Urantia book before part five begins to have any kind of really profound effect. So the focus of Jesusonian Foundation has been to promote the teachings of Jesus primarily to people who aren't necessarily Urantia book readers. We would like to be able to entice people into learning about Jesus in a way different from what they would normally get through their religion.
Do you get any negatives from Christians that are either unaware or uninformed about the Urantia book, and they see this as a sort of a frontal attack on mainstream Christianity? Do you get people that email you or go on the forum? And, you know, I see a lot of negatives, particularly in more of the ultra or uber conservative sections of Christianity. But do you get any frontal assaults, or do you have people saying negative things about the Urantia book?
Well, it did happen early on. We did cause a bit of a stir, and several ministers had heated debates. But for the most part, it's very quiet, and I expect that eventually the point will be reached where there's more concern in the Christian community than there is currently. Actually, no, I very seldom get any kind of feedback from Christian ministers. I will get an individual every now and then who says something like, the Bible doesn't say that. How can you say such and such? But I appreciate those kinds of questionings. I enjoy attempting to give meaningful answers to people and try to open their minds to see that there may be more available to them than what they've been taught in the past. So for the most part, no, very little rancor from organized religion. But I think the time will come when it will be much felt much stronger.
Let's hope so. What is the main purpose in your mind for the forum? What do you want? What do you think its primary achievement should be?
Primarily, I think it should be a place where people want to find out what this book has to say. You know, the homepage of truthbook.com has excellent study aids and teaching materials on it. And hopefully it's enough to give someone an idea about, is this something they want to look into more in more depth or not? But by signing on to the discussion forum, they will not only be able to have their questions answered, they'll be able to meet with longtime readers. That's the main intent, is to be able to get new people involved with people who have had more time and experience in studying this and are able to provide meaningful answers to them. However, it seems that, we go in cycles, and for the most part, the people that are on the forum are longtime readers who really like their dry sands of knowledge. They prefer to nitpick, I think, rather than, well, a way to see this is the interaction of ideas on the forum should be a place where we are able to put into practice the teachings of the book and to portray the personality and the teachings of Jesus in our daily lives. And so that's what I would hope would come out. However, it seldom works out that way. We spend more time arguing, I think, than we do promoting one another.
Recently, I read there was a great post, and I don't know the person's name, and I don't think I would use it, but just out of respect for that person. But they were obviously trained. I think they were Orthodox Jew, very well trained in Mosaic law, and he had posed the question, and you had responded, because he was kind of coming off as cantankerous, like, well, you know, obviously the Urantia book isn't accurate because, you know, it's saying all these things about old Jewish history that simply aren't true. And I think, you know, you had tried to very calmly explain to him, look, this isn't a rehash of Christianity or some offshoot of Christianity. This stands on its own, and it actually fills in the missing gaps that are in all religions. And you had said, you know, it will benefit you as a Jew to maybe read this with a more open mind. And he had asked, or she, how will it benefit me? And I thought about that for a few days. I still haven't come up with an appropriate answer, and I'm not sure if you were able to respond to that individual. Are you familiar with the particular correspondence that I'm talking about?
Yes, that was a very a valuable interchange, I thought. I'm not sure where this person is today in their belief. I know that they became a student of the Urantia book. Yes, he was an Orthodox Jew and was used to in-depth thinking.
Yeah.
So you're right. I tried to encourage him to have an open mind and to read it critically. But what was the most concern was the other interaction that he received from members on the forum.
Yeah.
He would make a statement about such and such, and someone would say, well, if you go to paper 87, section 4, you'll see why you're mistaken. And that's not what I would like to see the forum be used for.
Right.
I want to see it encourage people on their own to read it on their own and to make their own decisions, but with helpful guidance from those of us who are more familiar with what it has to teach. I felt that was quite a valuable lesson, and I hope that it showed some fruits in this man's personal spiritual development. And it's true, he doesn't have to become a Christian. He doesn't have to change his religion. He can become a better Jew by studying what the Urantia book has to offer him, just the same as Muslims can become better Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses better Jehovah's Witnesses. The idea is not to make us all Urantians and think alike. The purpose is to provide new ways of seeing the old thing and enhancing it and upstepping our spiritual perception.
Yeah. We're talking with Larry Watkins. He's one of the co-founders of the forum on truthbook.com, also one of the co-founders of truthbook.com. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I would encourage you. It's a great place to read about many of the subject matter contained in the Urantia book and actually get a response and have at least a digital conversation with members who are like-minded, and maybe you have questions. I like the Skeptics Corner aspect. I always check that. In the media is always fascinating, although it seems to be underutilized, because I'm always curious to see where the Urantia book ends up being in the media, whether you have,
right.
It seems like it hardly ever rears its name. You never see it in movies, except I think there was one movie about demons and somebody was quoting the Urantia book. But other than that, you never see it talked about overtly out in the mainstream. But do you find that as well? Do you find that there is still a real hesitation amongst the Urantia book readers not to talk about it in public?
Yes, I do. And often I think that people, when they begin to talk about the Urantia book, they talk about it in a second or third person, as if, well, the Urantia book says this and the Urantia book says that, rather than internalizing the teachings and making them part of their own personality. What we need really is for people to accept the responsibility of their faith and to acknowledge that it's had a profound effect on the way they think, and to accept that as their mode of living. So that when I speak about what I've learned from the Urantia book, I don't say this is what the Urantia book says. I try to put it in terms of what I believe, because it has had that kind of an effect on me. We Urantia book people tend to talk to one another about the book rather than talk to one another about the personal transformations that have occurred in our lives because we've studied the book.
Yeah, agreed. How many members are there currently, to your knowledge, on roughly? How many members do you have now? And how has that changed over the years? Do you see sort of an ebb and flow to the growth and readership?
We've got two different things going on. One is on Jesusonian, we have the quote of the day, which I'd really highly recommend to people if they are interested in having an inspirational quote provided to them on a daily basis. A lot of time, money, and effort have gone into providing excellent pictures, photographs, along with Urantia book quotes. And when we first started Jesusonian, right away, within the first year, I think we had about 5,000 people sign up for the daily quotes. Well, that was 15 years ago. We still have 5,000 people.
Really?
So that, to me, that's saying
stagnation.
Yes, it's your Urantia book people looking inwardly at themselves, rather than reaching out to people who may benefit from this really inspirational source. So my desire when this started was that by this time we'd have 50 to 100,000 people receiving these quotes, but it's still stagnant. It's the same as it was when we first started. Now, for the discussion board, it's a little bit more difficult to pinpoint. There are some people who are prolific posters, and there are a lot of people who just kind of watch to see what's going on, and they'll be willing to step in if something interesting occurs. But I would say we have about 4,000 people on the discussion board, but right now there's maybe half a dozen people who are doing the posting. That can change at any moment. If someone new steps in and has a question, people are always happy to meet new people and try to answer sincere questions.
Okay. What about as a moderator? What are the most common problems you come across when people post a topic or specific subject matter? Problems with politics? Do people?
Yes.
Things like that.
As a tax exempt religious foundation, politics can't be discussed on this forum, which is good because politics only brings rancor for the most part. So quickly, whenever things slip into a political mode, we try to steer it away from that. It's a little difficult because the Urantia book does talk about politics and gives us some really excellent examples about what good politics are versus bad politics. But when we bring that down to the level of what's happening in our world today, we try to steer clear of that.
One time, many years ago, one time I had posed a question on the forum where I said, I wonder demographically, are Urantia book readers more Republican or Democrat? And I guess that was crossing the line because I got booted out. And I remember at the time feeling like, what did I do? What did I say? But you were very cordial and you explained, you know,
Well, that's an interesting question because in my experience, most Urantia book readers tend to be very liberal. And that's counter my perceptions of what the book is teaching. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying, for me, conservatism makes more sense than liberalism. And I'm surprised that so many of my Urantia book friends are truly liberal thinkers in their political views.
You know, I think part of that might be that people in larger cities tend to be more progressive or liberal, and that's where I think the bulk of the readership, because in a small rural town, you know, in middle America,
yes,
you're not going to have, they tend to be more Christian traditionalists, so that's probably why. But in both camps you have, my experience, and maybe you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but it seems to me the majority of people who find the Urantia book are former religious people, but they've just become disenchanted with the institution of religion, and they're looking for something that's a little bit more maybe scientifically grounded, perhaps. Do you agree with me on that one?
Yes, I agree. I think it would be very difficult for someone who hadn't been a spiritual or religious seeker to come across the Urantia book and be able to make any kind of sense of it. To me, it's the pinnacle of religious and spiritual teachings available on this world. Once I found the Urantia book and was hooked on it, my search ended because I said there's nothing that's going to surpass this, ridiculous to try to find more because everything that I need to become a fully functional spiritual being on this world is available to me right here if I just learn how to use it properly. So the seeking quit. And I don't feel as though I've lost anything by not continuing to seek. But for someone who to find the Urantia book who has not been a seeker, I think it could be perhaps devastating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too much. What is your favorite part of the book? The part four? Any particular paper in part four, or other chapters of the book?
Well, I mentioned the person told me if I wanted to know Jesus, I had to read the Urantia book. So when I got my book, I started skipping around a little here and there, looking at the table of contents, and then I quickly realized there's just too much here to skip around and to take samples of. So I started with the foreword, and I read straight through till I got to part four. And I was so enamored with the first three parts of the book and all of the really great knowledge and new revelation that I had picked up from that I kind of resented that now I had to read about Jesus, mm-hmm. although that's the reason that I had picked the book in the first place. Well, after the Urantia book gave Jesus to me, I thought I knew Jesus beforehand, but it took the teachings of the book for me to accept Jesus the way that I have. And for me, all of part four is profoundly important. And I actually think we could get along without the first three parts if we have part four, because in order for this to become a peaceful, progressive world which can achieve light and life, everyone needs to have Jesus in their heart and their mind, whether they're a Jew or a Muslim or an agnostic. They need to have Jesus in their lives. They need to have know that God is our Father, that we're all brothers and sisters in a spiritual sense, and we need to have that kind of a concept in order to progress. We could progress scientifically along the same routes that we are today, and using parts one through three to guide us in that way, but we'll never achieve peace until we have the peace of Jesus in our lives.
Let me ask you this, Larry Watkins, one of the co-founders of truthbook.com. What is the difference between the Jesus that people think they know from mainstream Christianity and the Jesus as he is portrayed in the Urantia book? What are the, and without going too much into the woods, you know, because you can, we can start talking about Michael and the previous bestowals and all that, but keeping it as simple as possible for maximum impact, what is the main difference between what people think of Jesus as he's portrayed by the Christian church and the portrayal that you see in the life and teachings of Jesus in the Urantia book?
Well, what you just said is the difference, I think. The Jesus is portrayed by the Christian church. Christianity usurped the message of Jesus and forced the rest of the world to say, I will become a Christian or I will go to hell. The church's teachings are exclusive. You need to follow the teachings of the church if you want to be a good Christian. What the Urantia book teaches is that Jesus is here for everyone, whether you're an atheist or a Christian or have no interest in religion at all. Jesus's life and teachings can be a benefit to your own happiness, welfare, and spiritual growth. So the biggest difference is that accepting Jesus into our hearts and our lives can give us the happiness that we seek and can give us fulfilling lives, whereas if we focus only on our particular brand of religion, it tends to shut us off from other people and from the Heavenly Father.
So it's a matter of, and I want to add a little bit to this, because one of the things that I found was that it particularly in the paper, the second discourse on religion, I can't remember, I think it's paper 155, I'm not sure, but anyway, basically, as I interpret it, Jesus was not about rules and regulations and following the law, but just simply following the truth, having faith that you're a child of a spiritual creator, and proceed forthwith. And then you're truly free of all of the shackles of tradition and ritual that have sort of, I mean, Christianity in a way is like a Christmas tree. Over the years, it just becomes, all of these other cultures have contaminated to the point where it's moved away from what Jesus really was trying to teach, which is we're all one family. And it's such a simple message, and yet it's become convoluted over the years. And I think the Urantia book sort of restates, and I think there's even in paper 196 where they say, wouldn't it be great if the basic message of Jesus were to be retaught, and what transformative effect it would have on the world if people would not look at it as a Western religion or an Occidental religion only for white people, but he really, like you said, you know, he came for everybody, not just for people who just believe in him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we tend to make things way too complicated. With just those simple concepts that we are all children of God, brothers and sisters spiritually, and that we want the best for our children and our friends and our relatives and the people around us. I think that's really the simple message that only needs to infuse the hearts of the people in order to become more in line with what our purpose here on this world is. We're really too ignorant to be able to solve a whole lot of profound spiritual questions at this time. We need something simple, straightforward, that will guide us in the direction that the Father intends. We got a lot of time ahead of us to make ourselves perfect, and trying to have it all happen at once is kind of counterproductive.
Yeah, let me shift gears a little bit. Larry Watkins joining me on Candidly Speaking, and with only a few minutes left, what are the misconceptions that you run into with people who go onto the forum and they have questions about the Urantia book? Lately, there's been a lot of discussion about the origins of the book and who, you know, if it was channeled. What are some of the common misconceptions that people have about the Urantia book?
Well, I think it's probably human nature to want to know the origins of things, but that is counterproductive. The purpose is, the point of the book is not who wrote the words. The point of it is to give us a new perspective. And however those words were transferred to paper, it to me is of little consequence, because we have to listen to our own guidance, our own connection with the Spirit of Truth, which will invariably lead us through a long and winding course, of course, to find what it is that we're seeking. You know, some people find what they're seeking in a traditional religion, and some people find what they're seeking in metaphysics. There are lots of different forms of meaningful truth to the various types of people who exist here. But,
it's a complicated question. I mean, we could go on for hours and hours, and I would like to have you back on at some point. We could talk more about some of the other things that truthbook.com is involved in the future of Truthbook and where you would like to see it go. So let's take that time at some future date. I hope you'll agree to come back on, Larry.
Well, thank you. I'd be happy to be able to be of any help that I can.
And how can we be of help? Are there you're a nonprofit, so who pays for all of your efforts? I mean,
it's all privately funded. Mm-hmm. the Jesusonian Foundation pays for the forum and for the work that's done on the website. There's constantly having things updated, and the website is continually being improved. So it's not just sitting there. There's new content all of the time, and I expect after this summer's conference there will be new videos there.
Sure.
That tend to be quite inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The final question for Larry Watkins: are you satisfied with the growth of reception of the Urantia papers at this time? Do you think we're heading more activity, more readership? Are you not satisfied? How do you assess the current situation in the year 2017 with all this?
Well, in the year 2017, I'm totally dissatisfied. However, this is a personal journey rather than a group effort. The only transformations that can occur are within us as individuals. Therefore, group activities really have little value, little effect. It kind of reminds me of Jesus telling the apostles, we may have 5,000 seekers here today, but tomorrow most of them will have disappeared. It's a personal...
Some of them showed up and yelled, crucify him the next day.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
All right. Well, Larry Watkins, a real pleasure to meet you, and I look forward to speaking to you again. The website is truthbook.com. Check out the forum. Participate. It's always fascinating to see what other people think about and questions that they pose. It's a good spiritual nutrition, as I like to say. Larry Watkins, thank you again for joining me on Candidly Speaking.
Well, thank you, Jim. It was nice to talk to you.